Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Trish and Fourier on WEEI.
12:01 straight up with Gresh and Fourier. Next week, we'll be out of the draft Wednesday, Thursday, Friday out in Detroit. And, of course, our draft coverage brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston, and Cape Cod's choice for home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Spices. And, of course, we are, as our draft countdown has here in studio, 9 days, 7 hours, 57 minutes from round one of the NFL draft beginning. And we'll talk about it all with our guy, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He is with us on the Harbor One hotline. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good to have an opportunity to chat.
Well, I wonder, Tommy, we do this 52 weeks a year, and I wonder what will be more, our weekly chats or quarterback dinners in Foxborough?
I get what you're saying, and I think that it is well worth doing all the due diligence you possibly can on all of these guys, Penix included, because I think with Michael Penix, I think that's what you're alluding to. So with Michael Penix coming in, who is clearly a player who is going to be drafted outside the top 10, you're now setting the stage for having everything done if you decide to move down. How would Michael Penix fit? How would he work in your system? Is he a medical check mark for you, or are those ACLs a problem?
I do wonder how much of the quarterback carousel is for Elliott Wolf and crew, and how much of it is, let's make sure that Thunder, Mr. Kraft, gets to sit with all of these guys along the way. Is that a misread on my part? Do you think it really is about the football? Or how much of it is, well, I got a guy here in Elliott Wolf who's waiting to get the full stripes. We know Gerard Mayo, Robert Kraft put him in there. How much of this do you think is getting these QBs in front of the owner and making him feel comfortable about these dudes?
I would think that would be about 77th on the list of reasons that you'd have a quarterback in when you get the third overall pick. I mean, it's kind of self-evident that you better do your due diligence on every quarterback who has a chance to go in the top 50 picks. You better know every guy inside and out. The added benefit of having your boss get to shake his hand and see how big his hand size is, Michael Penix, by the way, massive hands, is good. But to me, if you're going to do a dog and pony show for the owner because you're too lazy to otherwise bring the quarterbacks in who might be selected at the top of the draft, you got the wrong guy in the wrong situation. So I can't imagine that they're having Michael Penix or anybody do a top 30 visit in just so that they can appease Robert Kraft and cover their ass. You got to do the work. I don't get why you wouldn't do that.
I am curious how prepared this new regime is for all the different variables and possibilities that could come up when they're officially on the clock. And serious question. I wonder, is there any sort of, like dress rehearsal that they would go through. How, let's go through the draft and hey, what if this happens? Hey, okay, so sure enough, they call. They want, okay, well, what do we do? Who do we, is it, because I don't think that's what Bill did, and I don't know if he did or not, but I'm assuming there's got to be some sort of rehearsal with at least the potential options that will come up.
That's 1,000,000% accurate. And actually, that'd be a fun thing to do in the next 5 days or so to try and get to the bottom of that. So that's a great story idea. You know, talk to guys who've role played the situations on the clock in the 15 minutes and done the negotiations of a draft, excuse me, of a trade possibly. I think they absolutely will do that. You can't be sitting there at, you know, 8:38 next Thursday and then say, oh boy, Minnesota's calling and they're offering this wide receiver and this tackle combination and these picks. What do we do? You have to have everything at your fingertips. That's why I think the Patriots should be actually spitballing right now. Who do we ask for if the Giants are trying to move up? Who do we ask for if the Raiders are moving up? Same thing with Denver. Minnesota, you could just do the picks, which is three of them, but those other teams can only trade. You can't trade into 2027 with your first-round pick, so you can only grab from, say, for instance, Denver. You can only take their 24 and their 25, I believe, first-round picks. You can't go 3 years into the future.
No, I am.
Take a player. Who do you want?
Yeah, and if you were, I know obviously. There's three quarterbacks that everybody keeps talking about, and you know maybe the third guy who's left. You know, after the first two go, maybe they don't love this guy as much, or maybe they get lucky and the very guy that they liked, you know, is literally the guy they fall to. What situation would you, if they can't get the quarterback that they want, what do you think is the next best move they would make? And I say
honestly,
this with assuming that,
down, I've been a proponent of trading down since the end of the season, just based on the putrid nature of the talent on their offense relative to the rest of the league. No offense to any individual players, but the assemblage of talent is so overmatched compared to the rest of the league. So I've been a proponent of trading down anyway. I just don't think, Christian, that they're going to find themselves in a situation where there's nobody they can work with. They literally can't go wrong at number three when they take a quarterback. There's more logical things that they could do. There are more productive things that they could do in terms of getting the entire roster better by trading down. But I believe between May, Daniels, and McCarthy, there might be variations on how well those individuals will work out, but they literally cannot be in a worse situation than they were at the end of the season.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston here with Gresham Fourier. He's with us on the Harbor One hotline. I just wish I felt in my heart, Tommy, that the guy they got at three is the guy they want and not just the third of three who was left standing there waiting to be picked. Is there any chance at all in your mind that they say, man, we got big conviction that this is going to be the guy? Let's try to move up one spot and make something happen. Because it just doesn't feel like that latter scenario is even remotely on the table. What do you make of that?
I think in another draft that might be existing, that mindset. But to me, there are strengths and weaknesses to each of these guys, whether it's Drake May and his scattershot accuracy, whether it's J.J. McCarthy and his size relative to the other guys and the amount of grading on the curve you have to do because of Michigan, or whether it's Jaden Daniels and the fact that he's slightly built and might play 11 games a year. All of these guys have qualifiers, but all of these guys have great arguments for why you would take them. So I don't think you're going to look at May and say, we got to go get Daniels. He stinks. Same thing with – and there's three of them. So you're either going to get May or Daniels. That's a fait accompli. So I just can't see one of those guys standing out enough, or one of the other guys being a big enough drop off to where you say, let's start giving up collateral to move up. They're not in a position, I think, to give away talent conceivably.
Have they will they use all 30 of their visits?
I think they're close to it.
Yeah,
and that's a good question.
Yeah, because I'm seriously, because I'm assuming, hey, let's just go to Davio's. Hey, let's go grab a steak. They get the back room. And it feels like a recruiting trip because I know it's not just one guy.
They're not going to CBS scene?
No, well, it's not there anymore anyway. So they'd be like, where is this place? Because it's not just one guy that comes in. Like, it's usually a couple guys that come in order to maximize, you know, just the, you know, the time that they have left because, hell, the draft is, you know, 9 days away. So have you heard of anybody else coming in?
No, but fascinatingly, Albert Breer just reported that all of the quarterbacks are going to be in Washington.
All of them at the same time?
Yes. Oh, they're all this week. All of them will be visiting at the same time, save Caleb Williams. But the other four, including Penix, will be there at the same time, all going out to dinner, having a roundtable.
Wow.
So that's good content if you can get a, you know, camera on the wall.
That would be interesting.
I mean,
yeah, especially with a first-time owner down there. They're ripe to screw something up.
I would put them all in the room together and treat it like some sort of competition. Okay, all right, so here's a play. What would you do? And then see what the next guy would say.
What are you doing, Hunger Games the next or something?
Yeah, I would treat it like the Hunger Games. All right, go back to your hotel. You were wrong.
You get a burger. That's it. You get the filet, for crying out loud.
And they do they get the company card after dinner is over to go around the, you know, the Metro DC area once dinner is over, right? That's what you really want to know.
All four of them. All right, boys, you're free. Go ahead.
Go see the town.
Send you guys to see how they interact, who does what, and what time everybody gets home.
Yeah.
I admit this is a little bit of an off-the-exit ramp question, Curran. However, are you hearing anything on any of maybe the veteran players that are here and guys who could be moved around the draft? I know from a cap standpoint, there's plenty of room to be able to punt on Juju Smith-Schuster if they want to. Does somebody maybe offer them something for Judon that they're like, listen, we like Judon, but this is really going to – like, is there any of that kind of buzz, or do you have any feeling that maybe, just maybe, there could be some of people moving off the roster around the draft?
I would say this, Gresham. It's not a bad question. We're leading up to the draft. They're going to, you know, shake out the roster in one way or another. But to me, you're in a position where the guys that you have, whether it be a Judon or – any other player, like even a new chase, signed a 1-year deal. He might be a commodity. All of those guys, you're not in a position to move on from talent or people that you want here. So the guys that you have right now are basically the guys that you want. Additionally, the guys who might be marginal, I don't know if another team wants them. I mean, everybody is in, I'm bringing guys on, I'm bringing young guys on mode. I think that the NFL season kind of goes in a cycle. And right now the cycle is going to be on, these are the guys that we want to bring in. Now, I could see the Patriots maybe bringing guys in from other teams who become obsolete because of the draft in other cities. And with such a deep draft at the wide receiver position, I think that's a really good question for down the road. Do the Patriots look at another roster and say, that guy just became obsolete in, say, Jacksonville? Let's see if we can work a deal to get that player in here. So that's definitely something to watch too.
So last one for me, I know you got to get going. I'm seeing all these, you know, teams releasing videos of the coaches addressing the team for the first time ever. And I know that, you know, what was it, last week was the Patriots' first week of voluntary minicamp.
They started the 8th.
I'm assuming he had a team meeting. I don't ever remember, like, the first, you know, during voluntary mini camps, there was an actual team meeting, but I feel like a lot of the new coaches are doing that. No, any word on what was said? Nothing was released. We haven't heard what he said, what his message is.
They didn't do what the Falcons did.
Or and even the Falcons, even the Raiders, Antonio Pierce did the same thing. So I'm curious if you've got wind to any information.
I don't know what the, no, I didn't, I did not ask what the message was. I would imagine it falls straight in line with everything that they have indicated that it was going to be in the off season, but I'm positive that Gerard would have had some kind of a message to deliver to the players. But, you know, we will have access to some of these players in the coming weeks, and we will actually get access to Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo this week, or actually definitely Wolf. I'm not sure about Gerard Mayo on Thursday at 10 a.m. So you guys are going to have artillery for the Thursday show with the Elliot Wolf press conference. But it's worth asking about, but I'm sure it follows in line with these are the things we're going to do. This is the culture we're going to implement. And we're not going to have any more do your job signs around here. How's that sound, boys?
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
Don't get him started with the do your job signs.
That's, oh, my God.
See the way he, see how he ended that?
Oh, no, that was good.
That was a shot at me.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I just figured that. By the way, Tom Curran, the guy the Patriots can't quit, they're wishing Bill Belichick happy birthday on Twitter.
I know. Larry David meme to me. I mean, a text would have sufficed.
Yes.
To me. Text the man.
The problem is the problem is nobody wanted to be the one that would have to send the text. They'd be like, oh, can't I get away from that?
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, look, you just dismissed the guy. No matter how much you stood there and tried to – don't it's stepping on rake season.
A great way to end it with Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tom, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
That's a great line. Yeah. Stepping on rake season. That is exactly, I mean, yeah. Good Lord. It makes you roll your eyes.
I'm glad he feels the same way because it just, stop it already.
Well, it's funny. Somebody texted us and be like, should they not wish Brady? Well, you know what they didn't do is have a 10-part series on how Tom Brady wasn't a big part of everything. So I think there is a big difference in the messages that that are being sent. Kenley Jansen doesn't like baseballs. And the WNBA had a night last night. And I got a story from the plane ride home that cemented that for me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Fourier, we got Red Sox tickets to give away at in 5 minutes from now at 12:30 on 2 for Tuesday. Had a guy in the Twitch chat yelling at us, dumbasses, the Patriots do not run their social media. Yeah, they do. And the reference, because I said to the guy, I was like, then tell me who does. You might be breaking some news here, friend. And
did you think they third-party it?
Oh, no, it was highlighted, according to the Twitcher, it was a tweet sent out that, you know, we don't run things here. When everybody was yelling at them for free agency and not getting anyone, what the Patriots social media group put out a month ago was a healthy reminder, and then something in there that said, admin added context they thought people might want to know. The Patriots social media team is not responsible for free agency decisions. Not we're not responsible for what we put on social media. Good Lord. Yes, the Patriots willingly went out of their way to wish Bill Belichick a happy birthday.
Everybody thinks it's weird.
Did it come with a middle?
That thinks that unpaid interns run billion dollar companies' social media accounts.
Did it come with a middle finger too? Like, was the middle trophy redesigned to be like a middle finger at the same time? And does that keep the Crafts from having to text Bill? Because again, it was an amicable parting of the ways. And I would think with Robert Kraft, if you worked for him for 25 years and you winky winky tell me that it's an amicable parting of the ways, that RKK, when he gets up at 7 a.m. and goes down to the corner, has somebody go down to the corner store and get his paper, that, you know, he fires off the tab, Bill. I hope you have a great day on your special day.
Yeah, and
or does
when
the
you,
tweet cover it?
And by the way, when you finally are a new head coach of a new team, make sure you know, you take it easy on us, because remember, I wished you happy birthday. We're still friends. Why are you running up the score?
So you mean he doesn't? Robert Kraft is afraid of getting Gibbs'd?
Yeah, Gibbs. Yeah.
Gibbs.
That's actually
52-3 or something like that.
Yeah, I just listen. This is for what you did back in 1978. it's like the hatred of the Giants towards the Joe Gibbs is still alive and well, even though he's the head coach of the Patriots.
It is incredibly odd.
Who do you think runs their, like, do you think most? I'm gonna think like
no, it's very easy.
No. I was gonna be like stars. Do you think most stars run their own social media account?
No, but they approve it. Like, they're going to be...
Thinking about the whole protocol of that. Hey, look, I wrote this. You okay with it? Yeah, fine.
A little bit. I think for the important stuff, I think most social media people will be like, hey, boss, I'm going to... I had a little witty response that's going to get us, like, you know, 200,000 looks or whatever in the world it is, right? Those people kind of know what they're going for. But I would think that the good ones would say, hey, boss, 30 seconds. Here's what I'm thinking. You okay with this? And then you show them, and then you hit send.
I love it when, like, one time I had mentioned Taco Bell for something, and they responded to me.
Oh, Taco Bell responds to everything.
Do they really?
They do.
Oh, I thought it was special.
No, Taco Bell is big on responding. I have noticed that if you go on Twitter with a healthy amount of people and tweet something about a company and at them, you can normally get it fixed pretty quick.
Hmm.
When John Anderson was the producer of the show, he was trying to shame me for the one time that I added Delta because they rebooked flights for us, and it did not work for me. So I added them.
Delta Airlines.
Didn't shame them. I complained that they moved it without giving me an opportunity to reroute myself, and then they DM'd, and then you went from there.
And then did they fix
and
the
then,
issue?
Oh, yeah, they fixed it
really?
In about 30, huh. Yeah, I would say within 30 minutes, I had no issue whatsoever. The overall point of it was certain companies react a certain way when it comes to social media. Because for some, Twitter is nothing more than its own world that is fake. Complete fake as hell.
Well, it's imagination land with drive-by shooters.
No, it really is. That's right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's the nameless, faceless way people can sort of move amongst the internet or about the internet or whatever. So last night, I'm on the ride home. We're on the plane, and I'm in the area where everybody's got their TVs on or whatever, and. You know, like my wife was watching something on HBO or whatnot. But I'm just kind of like looking around and just sort of seeing what everybody's got on. And I would say, I don't know, I could probably see like 15 of the people wherever what they were watching or whatnot. And I would say half of them had on the WNBA draft, at least to start. And by the way, I was one of them. One of the channels available was ESPN. I went to it, and I was kind of doodling around a little bit. Next thing I know, I look up, and I'm like, oh, I never put my headphones in to kind of listen. But I wanted to see the presentation, how they got into it. This was a very kind of different sort of WNBA draft. And in a weird way, It was really all based around, I kind of think, two people. It was the whole Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese rivalry again. We knew Caitlin Clark was going to go number one. When did Angel Reese go? I think she went six or seven or five or six or something like that. But I was kind of surprised that even as I'm kind of looking around the plane, there's a bunch of people looking at Caitlin Clark.
I would say it really is amazing. And I'm living it firsthand because I got young girls in my house, right? The older ones are gone, but still the young girls. And
I'm sure you'll get a texter who'll be like, tell your girls that sucks. No, be a dad.
No, it's amazing. Upset. I watched the entire draft.
You what?
With them. Calling out the girl's name.
They wanted to watch it.
The draft.
I know, and I joked, but wow.
No, and I was amazed at it. And I'll say this. This is why I think it's real. And I'm sorry, Billy, but I don't think it's going anywhere. This is the only thing that has taking my girl's attention away from Taylor Swift. It is 100% centered on Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark this, Caitlin Clark that, other college stars who are now in the WNBA, they know their names. I never thought something could take their obsession away from Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I am not even kidding. It's freaking Caitlin Clark, some 22-year-old basketball player who now plays for the Indiana Fever. With that, knowing that Taylor Swift concert tickets are impossible to get, and even if you do are able to, find them, paying for them is a whole nother thing. I went ahead and I bought tickets. Indiana Fever versus Connecticut Sun, May 14th.
So you jumped ahead.
I did. But listen, jumping ahead, I'm still suffering from the cost because every single ticket, every single game that Caitlin Clark's team is playing, all those tickets have doubled or tripled in price. It's amazing how expensive it is. For now, crappy tickets, by the way. Like, I didn't splurge. There's I didn't do the Gresh thing. I went nosebleeds.
Yeah, there's not a bad seat in that building. It's only about $8,000, $8,500. You'd be okay. Totally fine watching a game there. Good sight lines. No, Mohegan is big but quaint, I would say.
So, okay, good. That's good to know because I was like, listen, guys, sorry.
It's not like sitting back row at the Garden where you feel like you're a mile
away. I had never seen it before. Okay, so good. No. I feel better about it now.
The Garden is double the size of the Mohegan Sun Arena, if not double plus.
But I think the big picture is, like, when it's all said and done, like, the growth of this franchise, maybe this is just a pie in the sky. Maybe this is, like, an outlier. But if you're going to look at how the NBA changed to become important, it was Bird and Magic, that draft, and that competition in college that bled into the NBA. To me, this feels like the same thing.
Well, you know what it is it's the blueprint. And I think you picked up on kind of the way the NBA has sort of blown themselves up, not in a bad way, meaning how they turn their league into what it is. They based it around the superstar. It's in the NBA, rarely have they sold the team. Think about it. We go all the way back to the 80s. It was really Celtics-Lakers for about an eight-year period winning championships. You knew that both teams were really good, but what was pushed? Bird Magic. Michael Jordan, twice, three-peat. They're not pushing the three-peat. They're pushing Michael Jordan. On and on and on. The Lakers had great success. Push Kobe Bryant. We've heard about the greatness of the Golden State Warriors and sort of the dynasty we're living in with them right now. But what do you really remember about them? Thompson, Curry, Draymond. This is the WNBA's first time, I think, where they have a real sort of kind of megastar on their hands in their world. This is the first time the WNBA has been able to go down the road of let's push Dr. J, pushing the individual superstars of that league. That's the way the NBA built it. So now it took, 20 years for the WNBA to have a polarizing national star to where somebody can go to the, and I forget the name of the lady who is the head of the WNBA, but to where she can go, hey, I can now bust out the David Stern file and say, oh, my God, here's what it is. Let's put a pin in this. We got tickets to give away.
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Caller 9 to the contest line at 617-931-0937. Your score pair. Tickets see the Red Sox take on the Cubs on April 26th. Red Sox, Cubbies, April 26th. Caller 9, right now you'll get a pair on the contest line, 617-931-0937. One more pair to give away before we are out of here at 2 o'clock.
And just last thing to take the pin out of that comp, I just wonder, the league's got 13 players, right? There's obvious, like, a massive amount of hysteria involved with the league, and especially Caitlin Clark. I just go, okay, why not Boston? Why doesn't Boston have a team? There's plenty of room for a, and if, especially if this is a pro town, and if you've basically legitimized the sport to another level, why not Boston? Why not two? Why not three teams in the Garden?
Too close to Connecticut, number one. So there is the whole rights thing that everybody worries about. It's why Hartford doesn't have a hockey team, because they're stuck in the middle of, say, New York and Boston, who have big fan bases, and it's why the Whale left Hartford originally. Here's the other thing, too. Name me another state in the union that cares about women's basketball as much as Connecticut.
Well, okay, you're right, because they got UConn there. Okay.
UConn is the pro team in Connecticut.
Yep.
It's all they have, really. Having worked there, there are UConn fans, and then they all splinter off into Red Sox, Yankees, Giants, Mets, Jets, whatever, right? You're never going to find another state that will treat women's basketball as its pro team. You put the WNBA here in Boston, you're not sniffing the Big Four. You're not, I mean, there's still college, whatever, as well, but still, that's going to be more popular, arguably, in the state of Connecticut. They've already trained all those people there to care about women's basketball, and I do think when the first version of the Connecticut Sun hit, whenever they got their team in the WNBA, I think there were a couple of high-profile UConn players who I think started on that team. And however they ended up getting their draft or whatever, it was, well, it's going to draw fans because this is what people care about in
Connecticut. See, I think it would work here, personally. I think it would. And even if the team stayed in Connecticut, it's crazy. Like, could you have it all in the Garden? You'd have the Bruins, you'd have the Celtics, and a WNBA team.
No, that would be
a logistical nightmare. Even though the season
it'd be an utter waste of the Garden.
Why?
You're not going to the Garden for no.
See, here's
no.
what I see. This is no, where you're this going. Is where to, you're, this is where
no,
you're.
No, to start out, if I'm the owner of a WNBA team that's bringing it to Boston, I'm going to BU.
Oh, okay.
Put me in a 6,000 seat building.
Okay.
Not a 20,000 seat building that I'm not going to put a. Hey, look. As much as the Mohegan tribe is tied into the WNBA and the Connecticut Sun or whatever, if they could fill the Hartford Civic Center for WNBA action, they would do it.
Did you see her salary?
Yeah, it's funny. A texter sent in, can you believe Caitlin Clark only going to make $75 a year while prima donnas make $40 million per year? Well, I would also say this. The gross revenue of the WNBA and the gross revenue of the NBA are not even close.
I know. It's not even. People are acting like, oh, you need to pay her more money.
And there's players' unions involved and stuff like that. You know, I think the WNBA players just started recently maybe getting representation in terms of a union or something like that. But, yeah, it's all relative. And Caitlin Clark really is the first kind of, I'm just trying to think, Christian, the first real crossover WNBA superstar. Like Diana Taurasi, if you know basketball, you know her, you know Sue Bird, and they've all had their moments of whatever, but they didn't sell out the draft for them. They didn't run through, how about this, from extra small through double X. That's a wide range of clothes. It took an hour for the Caitlin Clark jerseys from extra small to 2X to sell out. There's been no one like her. This is the opportunity the WNBA has been waiting for. And quite honestly, it brings up something negative. But Gigi Bryant, who unfortunately perished with her dad Kobe in the helicopter accident, there were a lot of people who thought, when Gigi Bryant gets to the WNBA, look out. It's Kobe's daughter. She'll be really good. All that stuff, right? That's where I think the WNBA was like, man, this is when it's really going to pop for us. And unfortunately, they pass away. And now you have Caitlin Clark, who is really that big first crossover kind of superstar. So maybe this all fades. Maybe in 2 years, Caitlin Clark is just another name in the crowd. But if she goes and wins Rookie of the Year, then I don't think the hype train's going to slow down.
Well, it shouldn't, because I got my orange sweatshirt with the little white silhouette of the girl, like, doing the whole layup. I got that going.
You did, didn't you?
But I've had it for a while, though. Like, if you have girls that are hoopers,
there's
like,
nothing you can do. You got to be in.
Like, look, I'm part of the group.
Right.
We're all in the same hood now.
There you go.
Hood D.
Oh, there you go. The 401. Here it is, Christian. Here's what you need to tell your girls. You're crazy. She may be a superstar, but it's a terrible product. Nobody goes see them. It's just a sideshow. So when you go home today, I want you to look at your 11-year-old girl and you say, the guy from the 401 says, you believe in nothing. You believe in a poof. That's it. You go home.
I'm in it now.
You need to break that 12-year-old's heart.
Hey, it's still
by
cheaper
telling
than,
her that this
still,
is nothing.
It's still cheaper than Celtics tickets, oh, there Bruins you go. Tickets, yeah, and yeah. Patriots tickets.
The 413, you need to go to your daughter and say the WNBA will never work, not enough fans. Okay. From the 413.
I'm going to add this to the list of
you
things
know what?
I need to tell them.
Just do what you should do, little girl. You cheerlead, and you
down.
Might, yeah, write it down.
Write it
so
down.
You can tell your kid, damn it, how dare you get into this. Anyway. It is time for the lighter side of sports. And, well, Fourier has ruined something for everyone at Disney World. We'll tell you all about it next.
Time now for the lighter side of sports. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. With the two twinkle toes themselves, Gresh and Fourier.
Time for the lighter side of sports, sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you need to do a 180 with your weight, or maybe even your moral conscience, no. Visit awaken180.com. It ties into the whole conscience of a human being here, what we're going to get into today. Here is the headline. And for those of you who are longtime WEEI listeners, you will understand why this headline will make you giggle at Christian Fourier. Disney to permanently ban visitors who lie about disabilities for park perks. So whatever we could have had, Fourier, you ruined it. You ruined it.
No.
Shame.
Technically, shame. Now, so just in case if you haven't heard this story, years and years and years ago, my kids were little. I decided I was going to go to Disney World. And I had a buddy of mine who was a big shot, you know, hedge fund guy in New York City.
Yeah.
And there was this whole underground, like, you know, I guess, opportunity that I wasn't aware of, because only the really, really super rich, you know, could use it. It was they would hire, like, handicapped people at Disney World who weren't really, they were handicapped, but they were fine. They were running faster than we were.
Oh, my goodness.
One guy just had a cane, and they all kind of hung out on this one area, and you would kind of, hey, the Fourier family, here you go. Here's your handicap guy. And this guy, okay, Gresh family, okay, here's your handicap guy. And this person would bring you around the entire park as many times as you'd like, and you never waited in line. You if you're handicapped, you go through the exit. You go through the exit. So you go right to the front of the line. They wait for you. They tell everybody else to stop. And I used it for 2 days straight.
With your kids?
Absolutely with my kids.
All of them?
All of them.
All five.
Well, at the time, I only had four. I only had four at that time. This is, and they were all little. I was like, there's no freaking way I'm going to Disney World. But sure enough, the guy gave me this number. I had to, he gave me a code. It was like it was awesome. I was a little uptight, a little nervous and embarrassed at first.
Okay.
And even then I was like, wow, I can't believe Disney World. It was so obvious what was going on. Mm-hmm. And they just let it happen. And after the guy was done with us, we see the entire park in 2 hours. The kids didn't want to do it again. He had a whole new family that was waiting on him after we were done. And he would do it every single day, twice a day.
Now, this was during the NFL years, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It was worth every single penny.
And that's what I want to know.
Every single penny.
No,
I'll tell you.
How did the whole thing work? There was no Venmo back then. Straight cash, homie. Okay.
I gave it to him before we left.
How much are we talking?
Call it.
No. I want to know the number.
I'm
going to
tell
it.
You. No. I don't know exactly the number.
Give him a grand?
Oh, it's probably around $2,500 cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Damn. I didn't think it would be that much.
Yeah, for 2 days.
No wonder why Disney had to crack down. They're probably going to put their own handicaps out there
to lead
people around. Pay Disney World to do it.
But I went ahead and I looked at it, what it would cost me to get the Fast Pass and all the other stuff.
The disaster.
And it would have been, it wasn't that much more expensive. After I calced out, I needed, six Fast Passes. So I was like, okay, well, I'm already going to spend half that. Why don't I spend more and get to the front of the freaking line and save myself a migraine?
Other than you just shutting everything down at Disney, I'm not judging you at all. I think that as someone who would pay for luxury, I don't have any problem with that.
It was more convenience than anything. So here's what the company says. So the company announced on Tuesday that guests found to have made false statements in order to obtain what they call a DAS, which is Disability Access Services, will be permanently banned from its parks.
So they're not going after people like you who would hire someone and it would be like, oh, here's Uncle Ned.
Okay. Yep. And my guy was handicapped.
So he
wasn't lying about it. He wasn't limping on accident.
Okay. So, Billy, correct me if I'm wrong here or help me out, right? So they say, if it's determined any of the statements a guest made in the process of attaining a DAS are not true, the guest will be permanently banned from entering the Walt Disney World Resort and the Disneyland Resort. Now, doesn't Christian kind of fall in a gray area here, right? Because he's not handicapped or disabled, but walking around a giant park like that, there's no way his ankles or knees or whatever would last. So, is there, like, I wonder if there's some sort of happy medium here, or would the Disney people look at this guy and say, oh, my God, he was an NFL player, but he's still upright walking and moving around.
I think if his car isn't registered as a handicapped car, he's screwed.
Ooh, I forgot about that
part
of it,
too. Can't just flash scars and expect everybody to roll at the red carpet.
Listen to this line, and I feel like
this handicapped placard.
This is part of...
By the way, when are you going to get one? It's not like you shouldn't be parking.
Not yet.
You should be parking close.
Not yet. Here's how, in order to get a disability assist service badge is what it was. It was like a little card.
Uh-huh.
You go to the exit line, you know, and then here's the thing. This is why it was such an easy hack. Mm-hmm. At Disney World, they literally employ kids from all over the world. All over the world. They have a whole little like dormitory area where these kids, they come, they spend 6 months, they go back. It's work experience.
Yes.
In the United States, I knew people that when I was in college, they went to Disney World during the summer. They were Huck Finn. They came back to college in the fall.
Sounds like you're describing it's a small world.
Okay. And so every time, so here comes like Gresh from Indonesia, Billy from Pakistan, right? I'm not kidding. It was the craziest heirs. They don't care.
Nick from
at
Worcester.
All. Yeah. Where? Oh, excuse me, sir. Where is that from? Wow. This is the way they look.
Where's
in Worcester?
Where's that at? Massachusetts. Oh, I'm sorry.
So they didn't care. It was easy. So it said previously, DAS was indicated as for, quote, guests who have difficulty tolerating extended waits in a conventional queue environment due to a disability. So I have issue standing in line for a long period of time.
I mean,
my ankles swell up. I get real irritable. The kids, can't every single parent taking their kids say this?
No.
I feel like they can if they really want to get technical.
Because a lot of eight-year-olds can't focus. There are very few that are out there like singing opera on the AGT stage at 11 years old. Most of them are singing Taylor Swift in their room with their friends. You know what I mean?
I will say this, though. Out of all the things that I've spent my money on, this was easily the best bang for the buck in the history of my life.
Way better than those $3,000 shoes.
Absolutely. Which are still in the stupid box.
What are you talking about? They're about to be gifted in a month.
Happy graduation. No,
Gator shoes.
I forgot about that. That would be the list of stupidest things I've ever purchased in my life. But this, here's the thing: you can still do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't say you heard it from me. They're still getting the passes. Now, if you are technically handicapped and you go with a group of four people, what are they going to do? Make you wait and let the other people go on your own?
It said previously DAS was indicated as for guests who have difficulty tolerating extended waits in a conventional queue environment.
I just read that.
Due to the queue environment, you're in the queue.
You're in line.
So that's
you're
what,
in line.
So that's how.
That's
so,
line.
No, I get that. But don't they normally, it's like, oh, there are welcomed guests. Oh, so I'm a welcomed guest, but I stand in a queue like I'm, like I'm in line at the deli or something like that. It's just that's not a very Disney way of putting things.
See,
I guess
I have no guilt at all because my guy, was handicapped, older fella, walked with a cane, had a real bad limp, but he can run or move just as much as we could. So I never lied about it.
At Walt Disney World, as of May 20th. All DAS registrations must occur via virtual video chat and, quote, in-person registration will no longer be available at theme park guest relations starting May 20, 2024, and at Disneyland after June 18th. Guests applying for the DAS can either use a virtual chat or a dedicated accessibility services window for the same request. I will end it with this, with a text. A texter on the 508. I said it back when you originally told the story, and I feel like it's worth repeating. I am disabled. I find this effed up, comma, but really funny.
I would tell this gentleman or this lady, you have earning potential and you don't even know it. There is massive amounts of earning potential that you have not tapped into.
Oh, my God. So you're saying to the 508, go to Florida.
Call the show.
Oh, and you'll hook him up?
I'll tell you, I'm telling you, when I say an underground, like, whole market of rich hedge fund dudes who didn't want to pay for or wait in line would pay these, like, six or seven guys. And they were all, like, leaning back on chairs, hanging out, eating ice cream, having a grand old time. Are you ready? Sure. You want to go on again? I was like, nah, I don't want to go on again. You sure? You can go on again if you want to.
You're making it sound like, I know in, like, on the West Coast, you can, like, hit the exit ramp and get some day workers. That's what you're making it sound like. These guys are day workers waiting. It's like, hey, would you like to go through the park quicker? Here we go.
Exactly how it is. The steps that I went through, making sure I wasn't a narc, I wasn't going to squeal on this guy. It's like I had to go through a background check.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.